Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Football Talk Now, part of the JC Hawk Sports Network, with your co-hosts, Coach Ormond and DJ Colette.
Welcome to Football Talk Now. Tonight on the show, head coach Rob Sandlin and quarterback Kimberly Santisteban of the Mile High Blaze WFA Division II National Champions will be joining us. The Mile High Blaze was established in 2013 and exists to provide the highest level of competitive women's football in Colorado and the nation. Learn about their team, how the regular season led to, as well as win the national championship game, and what's ahead for 2023. They will be joining us at 10 minutes after the hour. I am BJ, and with me is Coach Ormond. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well. How you doing, BJ?
I'm doing pretty good. It's great to have you on board. Coach Ormond will be joining me regularly on Football Talk Now. Hey, Coach, why don't we learn a little bit about you before the Mile High Blaze comes on the air? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, Coach Ormond, Coach Cheesy, whichever the players prefer to call me, mostly Coach Cheesy, because long story short, Cheesy Sanchez, I'll tell you the story another day when we have more time. Okay, so I've been involved with women's football since 2006 when we a gentleman attempted to start a team in the Triad area, Triangle area. It didn't work, and we decided to keep it going. In our first year, we decided to keep it going. So we played one game in 06. The league asked us to play one game. We lost, got the brakes beat off of us, but it's something that we wanted to do. And we went from Carolina Women's Tackle Football Team, and we decided to call ourselves the Carolina Phoenix because we're rising out of the ashes. And fortunately, since 07 till now, we have been very successful. Of course, with every team and every situation, you have your ups and downs, but we were building. And actually, I'm proud to say that we were one game out this past year in the WFA of going to the D3 championship game. So I'm very, very excited of what's going to happen in 2023, and I'm just ready to get it going.
And now you're a coach. You were a player for a while. When did you become a player, did you say?
I started playing in 06, and I just hung my cleats up last September. I became a full-time coach this past year in 2022. I always kind of like was a player coach anyway. I wouldn't necessarily coach schemes or anything like that. I would always help players with just techniques and stuff. So I felt that I could do it, I could handle it, and it all started with me being selected to help coach the 2021 All-Star team with the WFA. And the way the ladies responded to what I was saying, I said, yes, it's time. It's time. I made the right decision. So I'm a full-time coach now. The mind wants to, but the body said, you better not put them cleats back on like that.
you were a player and a coach at one season, right?
Yes, in 2021 I was a player and coach. Yes.
Yes.
But eventually put the pads back on and went out there. I was only out there to hold for extra points and field goals and stuff, but it morphed into more stuff. And I was like, it's time to the next chapter. It's time for the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions I plan on asking the coach about special teams, how was your guys' special teams? How do you guys practice a lot?
We practice twice a week because of schedules and trying to get fields and making sure everybody can get there and just time restraints because, unfortunately, we just don't have the availability and the wherewithal like a lot of teams to be able to have just the resources to do it. We're playing and practicing and playing on borrowed time. So what we do is we, during the off season, Tuesdays and Thursdays is mainly offense, defense. Saturday we have a little bit more time to do all three phases. Our special teams were not that bad. We were not that bad. Honestly, it was my first year coaching special teams on a full-time basis. Of course, you have your little hiccups. You have your little ups and down moments. But for the most part, we weren't bad. I give them, for the first time, I give them a solid B. I give them a solid B.
Yeah. Now, did you do extra point kicks, or did you do two-point conversions mostly?
Fortunately, we were able to do kicks, extra point, as well as attempt field goals, which is not too common in the women's game because – well, mm-hmm. I should say prior to, but we're getting a lot of younger ladies and women coming in that have that soccer background. So they're able to, you know, do the extra point, and then I have seen some distance and some field goals. So don't be too shocked when you start seeing ladies hitting 35, 40-yard field goals here coming in the near future.
Yes. Okay, they should be calling in shortly. What about your rushing and your passing? How's that going? I noticed the D3 teams, and a lot of them are rushing the ball more than passing the ball. Is that so with you guys? Or
Our offensive scheme, without giving too much away, because I don't want my OC to get mad at me, but we run to set up the pass. Fortunately, our quarterback this year was a first-year quarterback. We moved her from receiver and safety, actually, because she was throwing in practice. And we were like, oh, my goodness, you got an arm on you. So the transition was when you're transitioning and you have them to be the quarterback, the head of the snake of the offense, it takes a lot out of you. But I'll say that Caitlin Krug, she – picked up the mantle, and she ran with it. And she was one of the top passers in D3. She was actually selected to be on the first team WFA All-Star, as well as Jocelyn Morrison, who was also selected as well. So we were balanced, really. We were really balanced.
Okay, it looks like Coach and Kimberly are on the line. Let me unmute them.
Okay.
Okay, do we have Kimberly and Coach Sandlin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And thank you. And Coach Ormond is in the background there as well.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing this evening?
Good.
Doing well.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm sure you guys, I'm going to start off with some of these questions, and I'm sure you've been asked a lot of these questions many times before. So this is for both Coach and Kimberly. How did you get involved in women's tackle football is one of the questions that was asked.
Sure.
So
I've been an athlete my whole life, so just finding any and everything I can get my hands on to play any type of sport has always been what I am drawn to, and I was actually looking for something else to do after college, and I'd grown up playing baseball, and I came across a co-ed flag team, and I played with them for a couple years, and I noticed a flyer going around that said there was a women's tackle team, and I'd considered joining, and then I'd noticed one of the girls that was going to the tryouts was quite a big difference in my size and weight, and I kind of backed out thinking, yeah, maybe I shouldn't play that because, you know, maybe I'm not ready for that kind of physical sport. So I kind of backed out of it. And the whole time in the back of my mind, I was like, well, maybe I should just try. That way, you know, I can say I've always tried something and, you know, it didn't work out. But at the same time, I had one of my teammates in my ear was like, yeah, girls aren't supposed to play tackle football. And I was like, you know what? All right, let me go try. So that was 9 seasons ago now. So I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you you started out in 2013 with the team.
Yes. Definitely.
What about
one
you,
of
Coach?
The older players.
Yeah.
You know, I've been coaching on and off since right after getting out of high school. I run a youth organization. I've run a men's semi-pro team that was very successful. The way I got in is I was just invited to come out and was asked to teach a tackling camp with the Blaze, and just the level of passion, the level of, you know, excitement that the players had. I've been there ever since. I still coach the youth, but I got rid of my men's team and went full time with the Blaze.
Back, what was this? When did you go back? When did you start with the Blaze, you said?
So I originally started about 13 or 14 as well. I took a year off as I was finishing and kind of wrapping up my men's team and then came back full time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been the head coach. This is coming up this year. It'll be my fifth year as the head coach. Before that, I was the defensive coordinator.
Okay, perfect. And Kimberly, I heard that you coached high school football. Is that true?
Correct, yes. I'm the freshman level coach at Douglas County High School here in Castle Rock. And then I also help in the booth on Friday nights with varsity, tracking tendencies of the other team and kind of getting the kids warmed up before the game, throwing passes and things like that for them.
So if you started, you said, in 2013. So what other positions did you play? Because you weren't always a quarterback, were you?
No, I was not. I actually went in looking to be more in a receiver role. I like to run around the field and catch balls, and that's where I initially had started. In the first couple seasons, we kind of rotated bodies everywhere because I think we only had maybe 15, 16 girls that first year. So we played a little bit of everything at that time, and then I dropped back to safety when Rob kind of came along and didn't play as much receiver, and then just this last season I changed again and went over to quarterback, and I mean, I feel like it's a good fit. I wasn't sure how it was going to be just because I like to hit people, and coach was like, no, we don't want you hitting anybody at quarterback. And I was like, well, this doesn't sound very fun, but I think we did pretty well.
Yes. Okay, Coach, do you have anything you want to add to Coach Roman?
I just wanted to ask Coach, you said that, and I'm asking this because it's so parallel to my former head coach who started our team. So would you ever entertain coaching men again?
Probably not. I've coached, you know, I run an organization from 4 to 14. I've coached high school. I've coached college and then mm-hmm. semi-pro. And it's just a different – I think it's just a different level of commitment with the women's team. I think what always keeps me excited about my dealings with the Blaze and you know, the WFA and anything that has to do. I just got back from Mexico City coaching against Mexican national team. But it's a lot like what I do with the kids. It's about teaching. You know, I would have 5-minute practice and 50 at game day. And, of course, they all knew mm-hmm. better than I did, and they all knew better than anybody else. And we were very successful, but the teaching part of it is what I love, and the ability to, you know, kind of put that into the next person, you know, to put that into the next, you know, level of players is just what's kind of excited me about the women's game.
Okay, great. Yeah, because a lot of the men that I've acquired to coach over the years, they would be – coaching men's team as well, and they're like, well, I think I'm done with them. There's so much. they felt like they were more receptive from the ladies. They were like sponges. And I told them,
exactly.
I said, yes, we're like sponges. We want to learn. We weren't afforded the ability when we came into this world to have a football in our hand and learn how to play. So we want to learn, especially those who were just – in love with the game of football and didn't get a chance to play. Although now a lot of young girls are able to play. When I came home, I'm a Title IX baby. So I didn't get a chance to play. So when I did get a chance to play, I was a sponge. I want to teach me everything.
And I think from that side of things, you know, the only thing I teach, you know, when I'm looking at new coaches or talking to people, I said, you know, it's a different mindset. You know, I think for most men, they don't really understand that, you know, everybody's kind of created equally in, as far as the football knowledge. So I try mm-hmm. to explain to our new coaches, like, hey, guys, you're really talking to these players as you would, you know, a youth team to start with, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, we take for granted that all of these players have the same training and knowledge that, you know, our men's teams might. And that, for me, has been something that has taken a lot of effort in regard to how we find new coaches for the women's game, because some of them try to coach it like they coach men, and it's just not, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for the women. It doesn't work for the team continuity as well.
Exactly. I've had to tone a few of my coaches down a little bit as well. And they're like, well, that's my style. I was like, well, you got to remember, these are football players, but they're women as well. And you,
right.
you just need to learn how to coach. You have to be – I want my coaches to be teachers. You
right.
have to teach. You got to teach
and
them.
I mean,
in order
Kim,
for,
Kim
in order
can kind
for
of speak to that.
Right.
But I think
exactly.
that's what we've been,
exactly.
you know, we've been pretty successful with most of our coaches that, you know, they have a passion to teach the game more so than anything else, because, you know, winning's great and, you know, nobody likes to lose, but at the end of the day, if the players that are on our team feel like, hey, I'm benefiting, I'm growing as a player, you know, those pieces of the puzzle, you know, that's when you make great teams.
Right. Exactly. And one, let me ask, can I call you Kim?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great. Kim, so since you went to Canton and you guys climbed the mountaintop and you holding on to the D2 championship and moving mm-hmm. into 2023, if I'm not mistaken, you'll be moving up to D1. What is your thought
correct.
Process about that?
You know, I think it's a little premature, honestly. I don't think that some of our girls understand the commitment that it takes to move up a level, and I don't think
mm-hmm.
we have the depth that we would wish we had, but maybe
mm-hmm.
winning this last one will draw more players to come out to the team. But as far as, you know, we do have some leaders on our team and the work ethic, and I think part of the reason why we won this year is a lot of our girls are playing for each other, whereas previous teams, we had a lot of individual players there. So, I mean, I welcome the competition. I wish we had a few more girls on the roster to take with us. But, I mean, it's so early. We haven't had any of our camps and things like that yet. So we might get those numbers. But, I mean, I think I'm ready. Like, if you want to be the best, you got to compete with the best. So I think moving up
sure.
will be a good thing for us, too.
Great, great. Well, I wish you both much love, much success and all that in your endeavors in 2023.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, we thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So, Coach, got a question for you now, another question. What's your style of play?
Coming from where I do, I think, you know, we've always been a defensive-minded team first, that we do our
mm-hmm.
best to, you know, to be stoppers. I think this year we were able to open up our passing game a little bit with Kimberly and – you know, have the opportunity for us to not just be a one-dimensional offensive team. In the past, you know, we had good luck with passing, but we introduced some different things that allowed us to be more confident in the passing game. For me, I'm all about what, you know, every year we have to look and see who exactly do we have, what kind of strengths and talents do we have, and then we can, you know, determine what we're going to do. I don't think as a good coach you can, you know, say, hey, this is what we do until we know we have the players to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I watched the what's that?
I said, but I can always figure out how to make somebody hit somebody. I can always figure that part out.
Well,
yeah.
Even successful in the running game and on the championship game, I was very impressed. I actually got the chance to watch it the other day. I hadn't had a chance to see it, and I was very impressed. It was a nail biter.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure it was for
it was
you.
Not one. It was not the way we wanted it to be. You know, we had a couple injuries that, you know, we ended up not having a couple key players in the game. Defensively, one was actually at her nephew's wedding. Yolanda Searcy, who's been, you know, just a defensive stalwart for years and years and years. So defensively, I think, you know, we were a little out of sorts just because we didn't have that vocal leader in the middle. Offensively, I think between Kimberly and Smooth Lowry, you know, Lacey Abel and Val Garcia, we were able to, you know, to figure out whatever we needed to do. Stephanie Skinner had a great catch to take the lead. So we were able to just kind of change up during the game and just, you know, as any good coach is going to tell you, sometimes players do their own thing. Kim's no different.
Guilty.
Keep her on that one, Coach.
So This is for both of you now. Who was the toughest team you played in the regular season, and why?
Oh,
I think for us, Nevada is just an incredibly difficult team to play. It was our lone loss in the regular season, and for us, they're just such a well coached team that it's difficult for to make any mistakes. And we just, you know, we allowed a great running back in Jasmine Plummer to have a big play, and it just put us behind the eight ball. And I think we had lost to them in the playoffs the prior year, so I think mentally we just had a little bit of a block with them. The other games that we had were, you know, I think we were more mentally prepared for those. Again, Nevada, I think we had a little bit of a mental block in regards to, hey, can we really beat these guys? So hopefully as we, you know, get into Division I next year, we can eliminate some of those concerns when it comes to, you know, what the team can do and how well we do it.
That score was only 12-6, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you held on really well with a D1 team. So
yeah, we've had experience. I mean, in the past years, we've played when Kansas City had a team. You know, St. Louis was always a tough team to play. We've played very athletic teams and had a good opportunity. You know, we actually beat Kansas City at home one year. So I think that all of us really believe that we, you know, in any situation, we can beat any team. But, you know, as Kimberly says, it's just one of those situations that sometimes, you know, we lack a little bit more depth when it comes to a team that's got, you know, 60 strong players. I think this year our roster probably said 45 to 47. We probably ran the most of the season with about 28 players, either due to injury or, you know, people that the commitment wasn't able to be upheld during the whole season.
Yes.
Nevada is a strong team. They do have, you said they had 60 players that they brought with them?
I think they were probably full strength. Yeah, they probably had anywhere between 55 and 60 players. And they're just, again, they're just a well-coached team, both those the coaches. We have had a lot of experience with them and just really appreciate how well they you know, teach their team.
Now, how often do you – oh, wait, Kimberly, did you feel Nevada was the toughest team you played this year?
Yeah, I believe so, and I think some of that, like you said, was a mental thing. There was a lot of girls that I think we lost 7 players last year to injuries, so we didn't get to compete against them when we got knocked out of the playoffs. So there was a lot of emotion coming into that first game. It was our first home game, and, you know, they brought, you know, 60-plus players. So as they walked out, some of our rookies kind of went, holy cow, you know, they have way more players than we do. And I think it was just that mental hump, that first series is what we struggled with. But the rest of the time, I think we kept up fairly well. And I think we just beat ourselves that game. But I think they definitely were our toughest this last season.
Now, how often do you guys practice and for how long?
So during the off season, you know, we have a camp coming up this week, and then we have national tryouts in October. We try to do 2 camps per month during the off season. And then once we get into regular season, so you think we're roughly January, we start going 3 times a week. Once we get into game schedule, we're Tuesday, Thursday, Friday is a walkthrough unless we're a travel day, and then games on Saturday. We do a lot of other things during the week. You know, we have chalk talk on game film nights on Wednesdays. We have recovery night on Monday. So when she was saying that, you know, a lot of players don't really understand the commitment, I mean, it's a lot of work. You know, there's teams that I you know, she thinks it's hilarious because I use the term orange slice. We're not an orange slice team. That's just something that we do our best. If we're going to be here, we want to be successful. So we try to put the work in.
Before, you know, you came on the air, Coach Cheesy and I were talking about special teams. How do you feel about special teams? How much do you practice on that?
Not as much as we should, I'm sure. I think that we've kind of been spoiled for the last few years as an organization that we have had just really good athletes from the return game. So, you know, that's kind of compensated for some of the lack of practice. But, you know, Kimberly's our punter. She does a great job. So, you know, we really, from a special teams perspective, it's really the defense's job to run special teams. So We stay consistent with the majority of our players. We probably should always practice it more, but mm-hmm. I think that we have to, you know, as bad as it sounds, you know, like with her, she's able to coach those kids on the high school team 5 nights a week. With these players, we can't do that. I can't ask them to leave their families, you know, 5 days a week. So, you know, sometimes we have to eliminate or at least lessen some of the information that we put out. And special teams, sadly enough, sometimes is the, you know, the one thing that gets cut out faster than, you know, hey, I really need to work this extra 20 minutes on, you know, offense as opposed to special teams. And, you know, Kimberly could definitely think of it differently than that. But I think that's something that, you know, we all try to put forth. I think more than anything from a coaching perspective, I think all of our players would always want to hit more.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Coach. I agree with you on that.
Well, and again, with our, you know, this year with only 28 and 30 players, you know, once we get into the season, it's tough to hit. You know, my youth teams that I've had, you know, that they're all, I had a team that was, you know, a wonderful team that they're now all seniors in high school, that 35 kids on that team, you know, roughly 20 of those kids are probably going to go play college football. And, mm-hmm. you know, once we got into the season, we didn't ever take you to the ground except for game days. But, you know, some of our rookies, some of our players that, hey, we need to hit more. And you got to kind of balance out that idea of, you know, more physical activity versus, you know, am I going to injure someone that I need because we're smacking each other in the head every day.
Right.
Now you did say you had 45 to 48 players, but regularly, right? So next year when you do go to D1, you'll have that many players?
We're hopeful. I mean, I think that, you know, right now we're in our prospecting situation. And we're in our prospecting situation, and we, you know, we would hope to have at least 55 players as we get, you know, have to do that. Obviously, the sheer number of players is not always the best thing. There's plenty of teams out there that have, you know, 50, 60 players, but do they really have 50 or 60 players? I mean, this year we had 28 players, you know, and so for us, the ability to have what would be considered maybe a practice squad, you know, that we can take advantage of that to be able to get some more reps in practice, I think is something that we look forward to. But, I mean, Kimberly, Yo-Yo, I can't tell you how much time they spend recruiting. You know, not only the coaching staff, but the players spend so much time recruiting. So I think that's, you know, what we have to continue to try to be good at outside of the, you know, the X's and O's.
So when you do prepare for a game, what do you do? I know you have your playoff or your practices, but what do you guys do to prepare for a game?
Ooh, Kim, that's a good you question.
I was waiting for that one. I think it's just, a lot of it, I think, when you have a couple seasons under your belt, you learn to listen to your body more and when you can push yourself to practice that week. And then I think it's a lot of film review, not only on yourself, but on your opponent. It's very important to see alignments before you get to the game, and that way you can recognize them as you're on the field and you're like, I've seen this. I know what their tendencies are. I know what they're looking for in this play. And then just kind of training yourself to do that for your practices, so where it leads back into the game. I think that's the best preparation we can do for that. And then just repetition with your teammates. It's definitely about timing on the offense. It's about, you know, reading their defense and understanding, you know, what plays you can and can't do out of this if we change to an audible or something like that. So it's just more about getting more of the people that are going to be at practices to be more game speed for that week. So by the time that you do get to that Saturday, you've already gone through it as a dry run and you're ready for whatever they can throw at you.
I think something that we've done
Coach
in the
Armand
past, too, is again, with the youth players that we have, whether it be through, you know, Kimberly's contacts or the kids that I have, we have a lot of those kids come out, you know, that are, again, they're possibly D1 kids that are out there working, you know, the Blaze players. They're out there, you know, going full speed against these players. So when we get to a game that, hey, this, you know, this team's got some other athletes, they're not intimidated. They've already seen it. They've already been prepared for it. We've done a practice in the past that we practice with men's semi-pro teams, trying to at least show what the speed of the game could be.
Mm-hmm. So what's ahead for 2023?
You know, I'm always of the opinion that, you know, things happen for a reason. You know, we really worked for, you know, all these 9 years to finally, you know, get over the hump. I think that in any team sport, you know, every year is a new dynamic. So, you know, obviously we're going in with the idea that, you know, we want to be, you know, the best possible team that we can be. And if that means, you know, that we're in Division One, then we need to be the best Division One team, you know, that's out there. So, you know, that's our goal. That's what we always want to be. I think that it doesn't benefit any of our players if we try to, you know, go, oh, well, we're Division One now, so we've, you know, we're going to readjust. No, we're just going to, you know, redefine how we do things and work harder on the things that we know are we're successful with.
So if somebody wanted to join your team, how would they get a hold of you?
Ooh, there's lots of goodies. We have Facebook is pretty easy. You know, it's just Mile High Blaze as on Facebook. We have our website, which is milehighblaze.com, and there's a contact sheet for each of those that they're able to. What we like to do is, as we get into this port of the season, we have a prospect page on Facebook that, you know, anybody that's even remotely interested, we put them on that prospect page so they can start to see you know, what the workouts look like, what the tryout pieces look like, what information is available. So then as we go through the tryout process, you know, if we realize that, hey, this person is, you know, not ready this year, you know, as we move into the standard team portion of the year, as we've made cuts and we've done anything else, you know, then we'll continue to market those people at hey, are you interested next year? Are you interested, you know, because you're not ready. My biggest thing and is always going to be it doesn't benefit any player to come out if you're not ready to play. If you're just going to kind of sit there and sulk or be upset because you're not playing, then you're not benefiting yourself. We had a couple players last year prior to the championship run that weren't really on the team, but they were out of practice every day, and they, you know, they came and were impact players this year for us after they were able to kind of have almost a redshirt year, for the lack of a better mm-hmm. term.
So is there anything that you want to say
always out
that maybe?
People.
Yeah, she always hustling people. So is there anything you'd like to say that maybe we didn't cover that you'd like to tell us more about the Mile High Blaze?
I'm sure Kimberly has some, but I mean, I think the biggest piece for us is it's always been we've always done our best to kind of maintain the line between being, you know, as competitive as possible, as well as being family driven, because I think in some instances you'd never want it to be a social gathering that, hey, we're just going out there to hang out. But also we want to make sure that it's a piece of the team that we understand it's important to be, have your other players' backs. You know, I know there's plenty of times mm-hmm. that they're doing social events together. They're doing, you know, workouts together, all those wonderful things. And I think that we've been able to kind of, over the last few years, you know, really stabilize that balance.
What about you,
Kim? Anything on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a family affair. Like, it's not just, you know, we're there for practices and we have our games and go away. Like, I've had teammates in my wedding. I mean, we all hang out and take care of each other if somebody's car breaks down. Like, it's more than just playing football on the field. Like, we take care of each other off the field too. And I think a lot of times some teams struggle with that. They have just the girls come to practice and come to games and then they separate. They don't really have that bond between. And I think what's carried our team so many years is, and we are family to each other. So I think those relationships that we have with each other also play out into the field. And, you know, somebody's going to blindside your player, you're going to make sure and take care of them those next few plays. And it's just, it's a relationship that you can't find anywhere else. You don't have that with your spouse. You don't have that with, you know, your coworkers, your friends, your other family. And it's just something that once you're in that element, like, you don't really ever want to leave.
Okay. I want to thank the two of you for coming on. Congratulations again for winning your D2 National Championship game. But I want to thank you two for coming on. And we do have all your websites on our page, so anybody listening can go to our notes page if they missed your websites. But I want to thank
awesome.
Both of you for coming on.
Thank you.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you so much.
Now we're honored to be on, so we appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye now. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Coach Rob Sandlin and quarterback Kimberly Santisteban of the Mile High Blaze, the WFA Division II national champions. So, Coach Oman, how you doing?
I'm good. My job is working us to death, but I'm pushing through. I'm ecstatic, actually, to get started with the season. Unlike the Maha Blaze, we actually got started 1 day a week. We do Saturdays for 2 hours, conditioning, learning techniques, because we got rookies coming in and we don't want to get behind the eight ball. Last year we kind of went 365 and we didn't really get a chance to get started like we wanted to. So this year we're taking it 1 day, at least give the ladies a taste of what's getting ready to happen, so that when January gets here, it is a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday schedule until the season starts mm-hmm. in April.
You know, I was very impressed, too, with all the stats that the WFA has been keeping, on everybody. I'm a stats person, so I like to look at the stats, and mm-hmm. I actually found them right. Past from 2013. I was kind of looking through all the stats from there, and they kept good stats mm-hmm. back then.
A little secret here. It's mandatory for us to upload stats after every game.
Well, good.
That
I'm glad.
Complete stats. Yes, they are mandatory.
I know. I'm like, oh man, it was like a pot of gold. I found all the stats. I'm like, oh my god, I could be looking at these for hours.
Yes. Let's just say you do not want to not post your stats. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, for fans' perspective, it's wonderful because it kind of gives us an idea
right.
of, you know, mm-hmm. what the player does, gives them, you know, recognition for what they do, which,
right.
you know, in years past when they didn't have the stats, it was, you know, a lot of people now know
right.
the players now. They don't know the players back then. And, you know, I remember
exactly.
some of the good quarterbacks then, like Jenny Schmidt. I don't know if you remember her from
yeah.
the Kansas City Tribe. You know,
mm-hmm.
she threw so much. She was a passing quarterback. And,
yes,
you know, you don't
yes.
see her stats out there.
Right. Unfortunately, that was not a main, how should I say, it was just all about playing back then. Stats came a lot. And I'm, myself, being an old head, stats wasn't really a motivator for me because I was about team. I was about us. Let's win. But I will say, as nothing against the ladies of now, but they love to see their stats, and they will call you out if you miss a pass, you miss a catch. I got 3 yards instead of two that you gave me, Coach. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll go back and look. Okay, so it wasn't two; it was five. You got okay, so I cheated you three. So. But yes, these ladies love stats and they love to see it and it gives them a good feeling of accomplishment. And so we do our best to make sure that we are as close as possible to making sure everything is correct.
Yes. I wanted to mention that next week on the show we are going to have Don Harrell. He actually does women's and men's trading cards. And I was talking to you offline that I had purchased some.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a Katie Sowers, a Liz Sowers, Allison Hamlin. Who else did I get? Yeah, I got Jennifer Gray.
Me.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm so excited. I just ordered Jocelyn Morrison and another player.
Gonna be excited
I'm
about
drawing
that.
A blank. Yeah, so he'll be on the show next week. And we're
okay.
trying to get another
Great.
Team to come on as well.
Okay, great.
Okay, I want to.
I'm excited.
So you have anything you want to say before we wrap this up?
All I want to say is everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land, please go support your local women's tackle football team. We love to see you in the stands. We are not a gimmick. We are for real. I'm sure you've seen all the women's football in different genres and different stations and different leagues and everything, just go out and support. We will really appreciate it to move this game into the next level. And we can't do it without you and your support. Thank you, BJ, for opening this platform back up so that we can get the word out there to what's going on. And I'm excited. Let's go 2023. Women's Tackle Football,
right.
Game 3.
Again, if you want to find out how you could become a Mile High Blaze player or any information on the Mile High Blaze, go to the notes page, milehighblaze.com. Their Twitter is on there, Instagram, and their YouTube channel. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Football Talk Now, and we'll see you next week.
Everybody have a good evening.